Okay, Alexander, we have some big news with regards to Saudi Arabia and Syria. And it looks like Saudi Arabia will be opening up diplomatic channels and reopening their embassy in Damascus. This is huge news. We've done a lot of videos on Syria, and we've also documented the plight of Syria with the sanctions. The runaway inflation, the economic situation, the fact that the U.S. occupies Syria's oil resources to this day. But it looks like Saudi Arabia is going to start talking with Syria, and that's a good thing. And maybe it signifies that for all the problems that Syria is going through and how the West is trying to break Syria's back, Syria continues to fight and is trying to figure out alternative solutions to stand on its 2 feet and find a way out of this sanctions war
No.
and occupation
It is.
that has been going through for how long now? 8 years? 10 years?
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. I mean, it would go all the way back to 2012, but of course, the sanctions war was intensified massively, basically by Mike Pompeo with the so-called Caesar sanctions last year. And of course, the current administration is continuing with those sanctions and, in fact, has, if anything, intensified them. But what this all shows is that Syria, step by step, is prevailing. The Saudis are patching things up with Syria. They're moving towards patching up things with Syria for a number of reasons. Firstly, they're being pressed to do it by the Russians, and the Saudis need good relations with Russia because they need Russian help to keep the oil markets stable. So that is a major factor, and it's not one that should be underestimated. Secondly, Syria has started to adjust and win background in relation to the sanctions war. It's been able to negotiate with Iran and Russia, so it gets oil now by Iranian tankers from Iran, and an increasing number of these tankers are now going to Syria by convoy, and those tankers are being protected by Russian warships. And I understand that, in spite of an incident a few days ago when there was a drone attack on a tanker which was not going in convoy and did not have a Russian escort, oil is now reaching Syria increasingly from Iran. And the Russians are providing Syria with flour and foodstuffs directly from Russia. And it seems a third country, we don't know which one, we can guess, is now supplying Syria with medical products. So all of this is happening. So there is a stabilization of the situation in Syria. So the Saudis are looking at all of this and they're saying to themselves, well, Syria is coming back. Assad is clearly winning this war. Do we really want to be his enemy indefinitely? Doesn't that play into the hands of our enemy, Iran, which that way is able to strengthen its alliance with Syria? Surely, if Syria is an Arab country, then we ought to find some way to speak with the leadership in Syria in order to try to draw it away from Iran. And I suspect that's partly what this is about. The other thing is that the Saudis, even though they're patching up to some extent their relations with Erdogan, they remain very hostile to Erdogan in Turkey for all kinds of reasons. They see Erdogan as a threat to Saudi Arabia's claim to be the leader of the Sunni Muslim world, and they want, therefore, to balance out Turkish influence in the Western Middle East, in Syria specifically. So that's why the Saudis are edging towards doing that. But be absolutely clear, it will be a game changer because the whole conflict in Syria was initially predicated, all the actions the Western powers took against Syria were initially predicated on the fact that Syria was supposedly in conflict with the Arab League, the League of Arab States, led by Saudi Arabia, which had said that the Syrian government was, you know, was this wicked government that needed to be overthrown, and which expelled Syria from the Arab League, and which closed the embassy, the Saudi and other Gulf states embassy in Damascus. So what we're seeing is that whole thing is starting to reverse, and if the United States persists with its policies against Syria, then it risks being left high and dry.
Okay, here's a quote from Joshua Landis. And he says, there's a Twitter quote. He said, Saudi officials met with Assad in Syria, set to reopen embassy, report says. No confirmation of this for one paper, Rai Al-Yum. U.S. is talking to Iran, so KSA might as well talk to Assad and figure out how to decrease Iranian influence. The U.S. won't. So I think he's saying the U.S. won't talk with Assad. And it leads me to my question, which is, there was a time when John Kerry, we have photos of John Kerry having dinner with Assad and his wife, John Kerry and his wife. And there was a time when the U.S. engaged with Syria, as did Turkey. And is it fair to say that Syria, by going after Syria, Obama going after Syria, is the catalyst that is driving the U.S. out of the Middle East, and over time will be seen as the fatal U.S. foreign policy action that that drove the U.S., that diminished the U.S.'s power in the Middle East and maybe globally as well? Because if there was one leader that they should have engaged, that they did engage with, and they should have continued to engage with, logic would say Assad, a secular leader, a doctor, a Western educated leader. Once again, get through all the ridiculous, you know, mainstream media BS about him, how they want to portray him, and let's look at the facts. He is a secular leader. He protects all worships, all faiths. He's a Western educated leader. He speaks perfect English. I mean, there's one leader that they could have engaged with, the US, the UK, France, it would have been Assad. But instead, I think the point that Landis is making, maybe he's making this point, is that the US won't and the West won't. They shot themselves in the foot, and now look at them. Now Russia's the big dog in the Middle East, and China's the big dog in the Middle East.
It is. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. Can I just say, I mean, you know, whatever you think about Assad, and you know, there's no doubt at all that he's an incredibly ruthless and tough man. I'm not disputing that. I'm not disputing that, you know, his military have done all sorts of, you know, very tough and ruthless things in Syria. But he's also a highly rational man. You only have to read his interviews to see that. If you want to compare them with someone like, say, Saddam Hussein, it is darkness and light. I mean, Assad is somebody you can reason with. Saddam Hussein, by the way, you never could. And it's completely different. And you're, I think, absolutely right, by the way, that it was Syria, the Syrian war, which was in the end the disaster. I mean, Iraq was a bad blow. It caused a big blow to US prestige. But going after Syria was the greatest folly, because it meant that Assad was forever antagonized. I mean, he's never going to trust the US again. He's never going to trust the Western powers again. And also, he prevailed. The US threw everything they had at him, short of invasion. The reason they didn't invade was because Assad was able to work with all the diplomacy to prevent it happening. He was able to bring in the Russians, keep the Iranians there, play with all of these assets. He did it, we've got to say this, with immense skill, a fact which doesn't get acknowledged. And the result was that the US has been seen to fail, and fail disastrously in Syria. And the result has been a crisis in the Middle East. Now, Donald Trump, sorry to come back to this, I know some people don't like us saying this, Donald Trump sensed this. He wanted to end Obama's Syria adventure. He could see that it was wrong. But it was Obama who started it, and all those people in Washington who prevented Trump from calling a stop to it. And now we see the result. We see a realignment, Saudi Arabia mending fences with Syria. I'm sure it's going to happen, by the way. We'll see Syria reintegrated into the Arab League. At that point, we will see all the Arab states starting to say that US troops should leave Syria. At that point, the US troops will leave Syria, and the US's position in the Middle East will be dealt another major blow, and probably, quite possibly, a terminal one.
What do you make of Saudi Arabia acting so independently of the US by doing this? I mean, this is a huge signal, isn't it? A huge signal from Saudi Arabia, kind of telling the US, you know what, Biden, we just don't, once again, I hate to come back to this, we don't take Biden seriously, guys. We need to start looking elsewhere. And I think that's what they're doing.
I think that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, they see, first of all, that the United States can't get its act together with Iran. It's finally decided to sit down with Iran and negotiate with them. It hasn't really discussed that with countries like Saudi Arabia at all. So the Saudis have seen that. They've also seen the way the US can't resist getting onto a high horse with, you know, posing, engaging in virtue signaling with Saudi Arabia itself. So we had all those statements a few weeks ago from the administration about the Khashoggi affair. And then, of course, they didn't dare impose any sanctions. So they provoked and antagonized MBS without doing anything against him. So unsurprisingly, MBS and the other princes, what they see in the United States is a United States that is both unfriendly and weak. What a combination. So, of course, they're starting to act independently. And one of the steps they're now taking is to forge these closer relations with Syria, which, of course, undermine the whole direction of US foreign policy. You're absolutely right. Under earlier administrations, this would never have happened. If Donald Trump was in the White House, you know, in full control, it wouldn't have happened. With the present administration, it is.
Yeah. Mark my words, on a geopolitical level, we're seeing stuff happen with the Biden administration that I never thought we would see happen. I mean, things are really changing because countries are seeing the Biden administration and they're saying, you know, we got to explore options.
Absolutely. So it is a...
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing or a good thing. I'm just saying that's what they're doing. I'm not saying either way.
Absolutely. I mean, you're entirely right about this. We've seen U.S. authority in the Middle East is breaking down. It's falling apart at extraordinary speed, as you correctly say. To the extent that any country, is taking its place, it's Russia. But to be very clear, Russia will never exercise the kind of dominance in the Middle East that the U.S. used to have. I mean, that's impossible. That's inconceivable. But at least they're talking to everybody. At least they're the people go to speak to, because the Russians, you know, have a skillful diplomacy there and they've got assets on the ground and they know how to use them. The US is failing there. It's failing in Europe. That's what all this de-escalation is. I mean, to be very clear about de-escalation with Russia, it's the US that's now calling for it, because it's sensing that its game against Russia isn't playing out the way it wanted to. And at the same time, even as it does that, it's provoking Russia at the same time, just as it can't give up on its policies in Syria, which have led to this outcome. And in China, in the Pacific, it's drifting into a confrontation with China that it hasn't really thought through, and it isn't handling very well either at the moment, even though China really is a genuine challenge. So it's all happening at turbocharged speed. It's to a degree that I could never have imagined a few years ago, that you sense everywhere the United States in disarray, and its adversaries increasingly taking advantage and of growing signs of a US retreat. I mean, I remember other times when the US suffered big blows. I mean, I remember the sort of sense of shock, you know, at the time of the fall of South Vietnam, for example. And yet the US recovered. It was still able to pull things together and do so very fast. This time, I don't see it.
It's a leadership issue.
I don't see any sign. It's a leadership issue.
Yeah. We haven't even touched upon Turkey and Israel, and there's just all kinds of movement. It's another video, but it's a leadership issue.
Well, indeed, it's a leadership issue, absolutely. I mean, Turkey is an excellent case in point, because, again, one doesn't get the sense that the US has a policy for Turkey. And Turkey is therefore also doing all kinds of things on its own without consulting the United States in ways which once upon a time, again, would have been inconceivable, even with a fiery character like Erdogan in charge in Turkey. It's inconceivable that the Turks would be behaving as they are. But, you know, that's the reality. When you get a sense that, you know, willpower and focus coming from Washington is faltering, things start to change and people's perspectives start to change. And it's amazing to see also that, you know, the administration talks about forging alliances and rebuilding alliances, when in reality, on the ground, those alliances are withering away.
Yeah, they're falling apart. Breakneck speed. All right, we'll leave a code, guys, for the Durant Shop, 10% off. Real News, use that code at checkout and you'll get 10% off all merchandise. And look for us on Locals, Super U, and Odyssey. We've got some big things going on. You may not recognize some of those networks. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But look for those links and you'll find us there. And we're launching some big things on those networks. Take care.